Good morning, everyone. This is our continuing session on the Blender Python tutorial. And in the meeting that I just came from, Arlo Sheridan was there, and he was saying he learned how to program Python in Blender. That's how we learned.
Interesting.
That's how we learned. He just told me that. And those of you who know Arlo know how awesome he is, right? He's a really high power computer science, mathematician, engineer, neural networks expert guy. So that was eye-opening to me, right? He wrote an add-on in Blender, and that's how he learned how to do it, right? So let this be a lesson, right? Okay, so I'm gonna share my screen. You and rearrange my windows. Okay. So last time we left off, and we had made a Git repository called the ICOS add-on Git repository on our MCell team website. And if I open a new tab here and bring over my Google, I can go to GitHub. It remembers I was at MCell team. And somewhere in here is our, I'm not sure what order this is in. Oh, where's our, there's another page. Workshop, QIG, huh, where is it?
Called add ICOS.
There it was right there. I just scrolled past it too fast. Right. Add ICOS add-on. There it is. Okay. So there it is. So I'll just put that away just to kind of recap just a little bit. So, previously, in order to, whenever we would edit the init.py file here, we would have to refill the zip file, and then in Blender we would have to say, you know, remove the old one, install the new one, in order to, you know, load that zip file into Blender to update the version of the add-on there. And you know, if you're developing your add-on, you could keep using that workflow, but I'm going to show you a better way to do it. And plus, you know, if I we're here and I kept doing this, I would get annoyed pretty fast having to do that every single time I make a change to my script that I want to see and test. Okay, so this is now getting into some of the particular software development issues that come with developing something that has a GUI for it, a graphical user interface for it. When you make a change, you want to be able to test your change. And in typical software engineering, you could write code that tests your code. This is what's called unit testing. But unit testing of graphical user interfaces is, I think, not so clear cut how to do it in a proper way. If Adam were here, he might have some particular advice on how to do it, but I think graphical, you know, unit testing of a graphical user interface is really problematic. And so you're left with doing it by hand, right? And so that means you make a change to your code and then you very quickly need to test it. And you want to make the turnaround time between changing your code and loading it and seeing it and testing it, you want to make that as efficient as possible. And if I had to go here and, you know, change my code and then make a zip file and then open Blender and then load the zip file into Blender, that's not so onerous to do, but it could be done better. And I'm going to show you how to do it better. Okay, so the way we do it better is we can make what's called a makefile. We can use the make system, which is a software development tool invented back in the late 60s or early 70s, right? It goes way back. and time. And I'm going to copy, this is the makefile that's in NeuroPill Tools. I'm going to make a copy of that into our Add ICOS, and then we're going to edit that and pare it down and edit it to be what we want for the Add ICOS. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to say copy that makefile. I'm going to copy it to the current directory. Okay. And then I'm going to edit using VI. You can use Sublime Text to edit it. In a moment, I'll add the makefile to our Git repo and by doing a Git add and then a Git commit and then a Git push. And then you'll have it. And then you can do a Git pull, and then you'll have it too. But what was I looking for? Sublime Text. Do I have Sublime Text as one of my guys over here? I think I don't use it enough. I just, I'm too lazy. I fall back on VI all the time. I'm happy with VI. And oh, there's Sublime Text right there, but I'm not gonna use it, but I do have it. In my defense, I do have it as a shortcut in my launch bar. Okay. So I'm going to look at the make file. And make is a language. It's really a language. It's like a procedural language that lets you perform different procedures. But the procedures are performed in a way that keeps track of the dependencies between the procedures. So if you're, and it was invented for big software packages where the software needs to be compiled or installed, and the software is composed of many, many, many files and many lines of code. Not really true of our add-on here yet, but its history goes back to when you actually had to compile your code, like say you're writing your program in C, and your C program consists of many, many different files, different C files. And in order to produce your application, you have to compile all those C code files and then link them all together into an executable that's ready to run. And before Make was invented, you would maybe have a shell script that said, compile all my code. And that's all the script could do is compile all your code. And then you make a change to one file in your all your files. And then to make a new executable, you would run your script that says, compile all my code, right? Well, I've only changed one file. I shouldn't have to recompile all my code, right? So if someone got really clever and they started making more clever shell scripts, and then finally they figured out, oh, we should maybe make a language that makes it easy to do this, and they invented Make to do it. Okay, so instead of teaching you Make, you can go to a website and learn all about Make. I'm just gonna quickly hack this together and explain a few things about it. You're allowed to define some variables in here. So I'm defining a variable called installdir. And this says tilde my Blender add-ons link, which is in my directory. I made a link that points at where I have my Blender installed and where the add-ons are installed there. If you don't have a, you know, that was just kind of an elegant way to do this. But what if I don't have that link yet? So Blender is actually on my system is installed in /applications. Blender, and then the script, and then the add-ons are in a subdirectory. They're called, I'm on a Mac, the add-ons are actually in the app called blender.app. So on the Mac, they did something weird where your executable is actually a directory that contains, it's like a package where everything is put there, but the package is actually a directory. So blender.app, which is what you get when you go over here. Do I have Blender? I don't even have Blender as an icon over there because I prefer to run Blender from the command line. Anyway, I won't go into that. There's contents, resources, 2.79, scripts, add-ons. Okay. And so that's really the location. That's where my link called Blender add-ons link in my home directory, that's where it points to. It points to this directory. So what I'm going to do is to make this more obvious what we're doing here. I'm going to say that the installer is that this path where I listed explicitly, right? And if you're on a Mac, this is and if your Blender is installed in a path like this, and my Blender is installed in the form of the cell Blender package, this is the name of the directory that it has. Okay, but your mileage may vary. And then the sources, which are the sources list the names of the files that are going to be part of that are going to be included in the zip file. And in our package, the only one we have is called init.py. For now, that's all we have, is init.py. That's the only thing that should end up in our zip file. So, but this says Neuropil tools, and I want to call it the add ICOS add-on. So I'm going to change this to say add ICOS add-on, like that. And you can see that, you know, if you've already got a make file from a previous project, you can quickly just make a copy of it, use that as your skeleton, and make a new one. Okay, so sources are going to be this. The zip files that are going to be put together in the zip file is going to be just the sources. And when you refer to a variable, you say $ parentheses and then the name of the variable. And then zip options is going to be defined as these options. And then in a make file, after you define these variables up here, you can then start defining some rules for how to make something. So, and by default, the very first rule, well, rules are names, like a name followed by a colon. And I think by default, the very first rule is the default rule. So when you want to make something from the command line, you could say make Neuropil tools, or I could say make clean, I can say make install on the command line. But if I just type make with no arguments, by default, it will make the first rule. And the first rule says, what does it say? It says, I think the syntax is after the name of a rule, after the colon, these are the sub-rules that this rule depends on. So it says all depends on Neuropil tools and Neuropil tools.zip, those two rules. Okay. And so the Neuropil tools rule says to make a link from dot to Neuropil tools. So this would automatically make that link that we made by hand last time, where the current directory is linked by a link called Neuropil tools that's going to be in the current directory. So when I look out here, you can see I have this link called add ICOS add-on. I can tell it's a link because there's an at sign at the end of it. And when I type ls minus al to get the full detail, it says add ICOS add-on is a link. I can tell it's a link over here because it begins with the letter L over here. That means it's a link. D means it's a directory. So here's our .git directory. because this is a Git repo. We looked at that last time. That's how we know it's a Git repo, but it's a directory because there's a D here. L means it's a link. And this says this link points to dot, the current. That means it points to the current directory, which is kind of interesting to think about. Okay. If I cd to add ICOS add-on, you can see my path is now this whole path, add ICOS add-on slash add ICOS add-on. And if I cd to add ICOS add-on again, now it says add ICOS, add ICOS, add ICOS, add-on, right? Three times. If I cd to dot dot slash dot dot, it takes me back up outside of the add ICOS add-on. I'm not sure why it did that, but I expected it to go up just back to where we were, but it didn't. Okay. Anyway, so that, you know, links are cool because you can make like tunnels through hyperspace, right? These are like wormholes, making you make like a wormhole through space. Okay. Okay, so where's our makefile? Oh, that did do the right thing. Actually, it did do, it did do the expected thing. It took me up to git test, above git test. Because in git test is where add-on is, right? So we fell into this trap last time. So we made a repo, and then we made a clone of the repo. And the clone was in git test. And what we're editing now is actually our clone of the repo. Okay, so here's where our makefile is. So in our makefile, we have all, it says it depends on Neuropil tools and Neuropil tools zip. Well, here I'm just gonna change this to say add ICOS add-on, because that's the name of the link and the subdirectory that is actually a link. That's where it is. And then add ICOS add-on.zip. And I'm editing these things very quickly. ICOS add-on. That one, I'm just gonna go around here and I'm gonna find all the places where I have I like this add-on and change your name. Okay, so now I've changed all those and now I can just delete every place where it says Neuropil tools. I could have done a global search and replace, but I'm showing you do it this way. Okay, so now we've changed all the occurrences of Neuropil tools to add ICOS add-on. Okay, so our rules say, the all rule says it depends on add ICOS add-on and add ICOS add-on.zip. The add ICOS add-on rule says link minus s dot add ICOS add-on. Okay, so then the name of the rule has kind of two meanings. One is it's just the name of a rule, like make clean. If I said make clean on the command line, it would do this. It would remove the add ICOS add-on.zip file. And if I said make install, it would say it depends on add ICOS add-on.zip. And then this says, I think the at sign means this is a shell script. I'm not sure why. There's an at sign here. And no at sign here. I'm not a super expert at make. I'm not sure what the difference is between an at sign and no at sign. Let's not worry about it. Maybe we didn't even need the at sign here. And I could remove it and it would still work fine. But anyway, make install says it depends on this, and it says to make this directory, which is going to be this directory, and make dir minus p makes a whole path. And what's cool about make dir minus p is the minus p option makes the whole path, but if the end, if the path already exists, it's not an error. It's not an error message, which is kind of nice. So this is just making sure that this really exists, and if it doesn't, it makes it. And then this says unzip minus o, the add-on calls add-on.zip file in the directory installer, right? So that makes it install in that directory. Now, a thing about make that I don't like is that your commands that you're executing, this is the name of a rule, and then this is the procedure or process to do for the rule. They have to be indented using the tab key and not with spaces. And so you have to keep that in mind. And I don't know why they may make that way where these have to be tabbed in. So just keep that in mind. Okay, so rules, the names of rules can be just a string that is just like a flag, and then you can use that name on the command line where you could say make clean or make install. But the other meaning in the name is it can also be the name of a file that needs to exist in the current directory. Okay, and so here where I say this depends on this and this, if you use it in the form of a dependency, that the name of the dependency is understood to be not just the name of a rule that it depends on, but it's the name of a file that needs to exist. So add ICOS add-on is a file that needs to exist. And if it doesn't exist, right, then or if it's out of date, if the dependency works in a way where it looks at the dates, the timestamps of the files. And this is how it knows that if you've changed one C file in your giant million lines of code, and say 100,000 different C files, if you've changed one file, when you say make my executable, instead of making all 100,000 files, it looks at the timestamps of all the files and figures out which one has changed. And then does just that, right? And if that depends on something else, it follows the chain of dependencies and figures out what order things need to be made in terms of what dates they have. And it's super clever. And after you write your make file, it then frees up your brain so you don't have to think about it anymore, right? Which is why we're taking the trouble to do this, right? So you don't have to think about it anymore. Okay, so this says, if the add ICOS add-on file doesn't exist or is out of date with some other rule that depends on it, this tells it how to make it, right? So this makes it again, right?
Tom, can I just ask, so that means that if a rule creates a file, then the rule should be named the same thing as the file that is created.
Yeah,
is
that it makes.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so you have to, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Mm-hmm. You get it. So the result of the rule should be the file that the rule says it's trying to make, right? Somewhere at the end, right? So here's maybe the best example is this add ICOS add-on.zip rule that says it depends on sources, right? And the sources are these files. We don't have a rule that says how to make this init file. That's the file we're editing. That's our responsibility, right? We make that file. But if I deleted this file and then I said make add-on ICOS add-on.zip, I think the make rule would say I don't know how to make init.py is what it would say. Because it says it depends on init.py, but if I don't have it, it looks for it and says, it's not there. There's no rule that says how to make it. It'll give you that message. and then you'll go, oh no, I accidentally deleted it, right? And then you can use your Git pull to pull it back in again, because you've been saving things in Git, right? That's another advantage of Git. Okay, this says echo updating add-icos addon.zip. So this is actually printing a little message saying it's doing it, and it's going to echo what sources it's going to put there. And then it's going to say zip, using the zip options to make add-icos addon.zip of the zip files. Boom. So this is actually resulting in the creation of add-icos addon.zip, which is exactly what the rule says it was trying to do. Okay. And then make clean says remove it, right? And then make install says it depends on add icos addon.zip. So if I don't have it yet, if I've done a make clean and I don't have it anymore, and then I say make install, it's going to say, ah, it depends on this. I don't have it, but there's a rule that says how to make it. I make it. It's unhappy. And then it can go down here and continue the work and say make this directory and then unzip it in the location. So this make file, I think, is now ready to try out. I think it's done. This make file will make the zip file and install it on top of what was there before, all in one smooth motion, and I won't have to use Blender to do that for me. Okay, so let's try it out. And so here I can say make clean. And it says remove add icos addon.zip. I don't know why it took so long to do that. My Mac is maybe not so happy at the moment. And what if I even remove add icos addon? So I don't even have that directory. So now all I have is the init.py and the make file. I can now say make install, right? If I say make all, or if I say make all, or just make, the all rule is the first rule in the file. That's what will get done. And the only thing that's going to do is make the subdirectory and the zip file, because the all rule says to make the sub, make the link, yeah, make the link and make the zip file, but not install it, right? So if I just type make, we'll see that it says, it did the link, and then it says updating addicos addon.zip, adding the sources, adding those, and now if I do ls, I now have the addicos addon link and the zip file, but it didn't install, right? Now I can do make clean again, and now it's all gone. Make clean doesn't remove the link, it only removes the zip file, right? Because that's what we said to do, right? And now if I say make install, we don't have the zip file anymore because we cleaned it. And now it's going to say updating, adding, we have the archive, and now it says extracting into the add icos addon directory init.py, right, in our whole path, right? And right now, if I were to say, take that file and I say ls minus al of that file, it'll tell us the date of that file, which is January 8th, 1101, because January 8th, 1101 is when we last changed this. So one of the zip options was that we gave was to preserve the date stamp on the file, kind of on purpose so that you don't lose track of what version is really there, right? And if I were to say, let's see, let's do this again. Instead of doing this, if I were to say remove my whole add-on, it's now not there anymore. And if I try to list it, it says no such file or directory, right? And then I can say make install, and it should now be there, and it is with January 8th, 1101. Okay, so now we have our make file that we can now just every, you know, as soon as we're done, you know, editing, we can say make install, and then open Blender and see our updated GUI file and do and continue our testing and development. Okay, so now we're really ready to dig in to the next parts of developing this add-on, because we now have some our basic infrastructure in place. So as a developer, so just to recap, we started with making an add-on just within Blender itself as a text widget, in a text widget inside Blender. And then we copied that script file, exported that script file, that script text widget, we exported it as a file that we could then treat as an add-on. And then we made a Git repo out of our add-on. And then we've just made a make file that makes it, that allows us to very quickly, turn around between. So there's a, back in the day, when you would compile your code, you would do something called edit compile test would be your workflow, right? And now we can do the same thing. We can edit compile, edit install test, right? Because it's Python code, we don't have to compile it, but we do have to install it in a place where Blender finds it, right? So we now do edit install test is kind of our cycle for software development. And actually it should be really, edit, install, test, and scratch your head and think about why it didn't work, right? And then you edit, right? But okay. Okay, so now we are ready to go. Let's see. So I'm gonna start up Blender. And usually what you do is you have maybe one window where you run Blender from the command line, like here, or see. I'm gonna delete all those and put this smaller. So we have one window where we run Blender, and we run it from a window because if there are any error messages generated by our Python script or an add-on, those error messages will appear printed in this window. So we have one window where we have, where we can kind of look at our error messages. I'm gonna shrink that up a little bit. Another window, maybe that's Sublime Text, where you edit your code. And then a third window, which I'm gonna open right now. The third window, and I'll make that be a small one and put it over here. A third window where you cd into the directory where your add-on is, like here, cd into there. A third window where you can say make install, right? Whenever you're ready to do it. So here you look for your error messages. Here's where I'm gonna edit my code. Let's see. This is where I'll edit. So what I would edit over here and then save, but I don't have to quit because I can just go over here and then say make install when I'm done. And in this window where I'd say make install, and this is the window where I could say git commit. So over here, before we continue, we have a make file. We just tested the make file. The make file works, right? So we did some testing of the make file. I'm gonna say git add. Well, if I do git status right now, git status says that there are two untracked files. One is this .swap file. That's because I'm editing the init.py file. And so we don't want to, and VI is made kind of a backup. Let me quit from VI and I'll do a git status again. Now it just says untracked files, the make file. So this is telling us that our branch is up to date with origin master, but there are but there is an untracked file. So this says up to date because we haven't edited any of the files that are being tracked, like init.py, we haven't edited that. So that is up to date, that, which is why this is saying it's up to date. However, there's untracked files. There's a file called makefile, which Git doesn't know about. It sees it, it doesn't know about it. It's not gonna track it as one of the things that could change. So maybe that's okay, maybe not. In our case, it's not okay because I want to have that be part of the repo. So I have to say git add makefile. And now if I do git status, it says, branch up to date with origin master. What that means is there's no change on origin master that I haven't yet pulled into. That's what that means. I was thinking of it wrong way. And then it says changes to be committed. It says, it says there's a new file called makefile, but if I'm not happy with that, it says I can do git reset head of some file name to unstage that commit. So you have a chance to get out of it if you're not happy. So Git is really nice. The user interface is really nice because it gives you some ideas of what to do. It says there are changes to be committed, but if I don't want to do that, I can unstage it, right? So now I'm going to say git commit minus a, and it then opens an editor and lets you write in a log message, and it tells you what, and part of the log message is, you know, what's about to happen. Changes we committed, there's a new file called makefile. I'll just say up here, and makefile to repo. It's kind of obvious, but that's what I do. And now I can do a git push if I want to publish that to the website, to GitHub, and there it goes. And now it's there. Okay. And if I look in the git log, you can see there it is, add makefile to repo. Okay. So now we're ready to continue in earnest our development of the add ICOS add-on. And just to look at it, it starts with the obligatory item called BL info. So every add-on needs to have a BL info at the top level of the add-on. So the top level of an add-on or of a Python package, right? The top level of a Python package, any Python package, is going to be a file called __init__.py. And the name of the Python package is always taken from the name of the directory in which that file is found. So when Blender is looking at this, you know, this add-on, it's seeing it as a Python package. So there's no magic with a Blender add-on, it's just a Python package. But there are some rules about how to structure a Python package. So Blender has to know, it's just a Python package, but there's some things about it that are unique about it that make it be recognizable as a Blender add-on, okay? And one of the things is there has to be a dictionary called BL, there has to be a dictionary called BL_info. This is a dictionary, right? That has these keys in it. And I'm not sure what the necessary keys are that it has to have. It might only have to have a name. I'm not sure. But anyway, the way in the documentation that I sent you last time, that's that I noted last time, that's part of our notes for our tutorial. The book, newbies to guru, Blender book. Somewhere in there in the section on how to make add-ons, it's gonna go through what is possible to put here and what's required to put here. This one's pretty stripped down. There's a lot of other entries that can go into here, like the name of the developers, the name of a website where you can find documentation, and lots of other convenient things that are really nice. In the in the Neuripil tools add-on, we actually do have a few more of those shown. So for the Neuripil tools add-on, it says name Neuripil tools, author Kaylee and me, the version number of the add-on, what Blender versions it can work with. It can be this version or later, I think. Which version of the Blender API is recognized. You can find that out by looking at Blender in detail and find out in Blender 278-1 what was the API of the Blender Python API. The location, which is where you could find after the add-on is installed and activated, where in the user interface are you going to find the user interface for it? And this says it's under 3D View Tools. That means the tool shelf in a panel called Neuripil Tools Panel, right? I think. And then the description, this is just a quick description, modeling tools for brain Neuripil. I don't know what the warning is. The wiki URL, this points you at mcell.org. And then the tracker URL. So if I find a bug and I want to report the bug, if I'm a user and I want to report the bug, this is where it would take you. It would take you to the MCLT Neuripil tools issue on GitHub. And then what category to put it in. This makes a category called cell modeling. And the category doesn't have to exist. It's the category you're saying it's in, right? So that's kind of nice, right? But we invented our own generic category called cell modeling. Okay, so these are some of the other things that can go in there. Okay. So that's required. And that has to be visible at the top level of the add-on. So that means if I say import add ICOS add-on, Blender's going to say import add ICOS add-on. That's the name of the Python package. There needs to be something called add ICOS add-on dot BL info. So this has to be in this file, in the init file, because that's the only way it could be called add ICOS add-on dot BL info. The other required things that have to exist at the top level, let me see, at the top level, the things that have to exist is something called register and unregister. So there has to be something called add ICOS add-on dot register and add ICOS add-on dot unregister. Everything else in here that's already in this file, like this main, this if main, and these other classes that we've made, like here's the hello world panel, and here's the add ICOS operator, and here's the my scene settings property group. those things do not have to be in this file. They could be in another file if I wanted them to be. So as you develop an add-on, if the add-on starts to be getting more and more complicated, a good practice, a tradecraft, software engineering practice, is to have several different files for your add-on that contain logically, organized items, right? And it's up to you to decide what is that organization. As you, the developer, you, the software engineer, you can organize it that way. So for Neuracle.
And Tom, just a question about that.
Yeah.
What are the kind of the headers that those files need?
Yes. So that's what we're going to get into. Because I think
what
we're going to do here is break this up into a couple files on purpose so that I can show you that. Yeah. But in Neuropil tools, if I look at the init.py of Neuropil tools, it has, I'm just trying to remind myself of the things that it has. So Neuropil tools is quite a bit fancier, but it's worth looking at because I want to teach you beginner things, but then we're going to get into some more advanced things, right? And you guys aren't just mere mortals, you guys are neuroscientists, right? So I don't have to treat you like a complete newbie. Okay, so we have the BL info. Then we have some other things. So if you have stuff in other files that are going to be referred to in this file, then you have to import those into this file with an import command. And I think in the case of Neuropil tools, we do some of that. So this says to support re-registration of the add-on properly. Like what if you, so re-registration is when you, sometimes in Blender, this is supporting some features of Blender that let you say, turn off the add-on and then turn it back on again with the checkbox, right? That would be a case of if you turn off, if you go into the add-ons tab in Blender in the preferences and turn it on, that's called when you click the checkbox to turn it on, that's called registering it, right? And our add-on works for that because we have a register and that works. So you can click the checkbox, it registers, it works, right? But we saw last time when we clicked to uncheck it, we got an error. And we just went on from that. I didn't say too much about it, but we did get an error when we clicked uncheck. So our unregister is not working right. And then if we were to click the checkbox again, that would be a case of re-registering. And to re-register, you have to do certain things. And for Neuropil tools, this says if BPY in locals. What does this mean, BPY? If BPY in locals. So let's go up to the very top of this. And this says we're going to import OS, we're going to import sys, and then we're going to say from BPY extras.io utils import helper. I'm not sure what we're going to do with that, but we do something with it somewhere. And then we go on and on here. Again, and then this says if BPY in locals. Okay, so this is when you say if BPY in locals, or locals, you can see that this is a function call called locals. Let me quit from over here and I'll say Python 3.5, and I can say locals. So locals is a built-in Python function that returns a dictionary. This is a dictionary because it starts with a curly brace. It's a dictionary, and what it is, it's a dictionary that contains the names of all the local variables that exist in your thing, right? So what if I said foo equals, you know, 5, and then I say locals. You can see there's foo. That's kind of wild, isn't it? So Python is the coolest language out there, I think, because it lets you see inside of itself. This is what's called introspection. So the locals command lets you look inside of the active Python, looking for the local variables. There's also a list of global variables, where I can say globals, I think. And locals, since we're at the top level of the whole stack, locals and globals are the same, because all these local variables are really global variables. But that's only true because we're at the very top level. If I were inside of a function and I said locals, I would only see the names, the variables that are local to my function, I think. And I wouldn't see variables that are outside of the scope of my I think we can find out.
Surely the global variables would always be in scope. Right?
Yeah, maybe.
I think it's the other way around.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. So let's do a help on locals. So this is another cool thing about Python is if I don't know something, well, I can go to the web and look it up, but also built into Python, I can say help, right? So this says return of a dictionary containing the current scopes, local variables. So that would include the globals, I think, because it says the current scope. And the global scope is always visible, right?
Yes, I think so, yeah.
And then it says, note whether or not updates to the dictionary will affect name lookups in the local scope and vice versa is implementation dependent and not covered by any backward compatibility guarantees. Okay, so this means be careful if you, I can say, you know, if equals, you know, something. And then I can say locals again. And now I've got ik and foo both visible there. And so when I define new variables, they get put into the list of variables, right? But since this is a dictionary, I can also edit this dictionary myself. And what this help was telling me here is whether or not updates to the dictionary will affect name lookups in the local scope is implementation dependent. That means the version of Python that I'm using. They haven't really fully defined how this should happen in backwards, you know, for backwards compatibility with other versions of Python. So if you write a Python program that makes use of editing by hand this dictionary, don't be surprised if it doesn't work in a different version of Python. That's what they're saying. It'll always work in your version of Python, right? But in some other version of Python, it might not work. That's what they're saying there. And then if I look up globals here, it says return the dictionary containing the current scope's global variables. And then it says updates to this dictionary will affect name lookups in the current global scope and vice versa. Well, that means this will always happen, no matter what version of Python you have. So this one you don't have to be so worried about. Okay, if you're going to make use of that. But usually it's considered to be a little bit dangerous to edit this dictionary by hand unless you have some very specific thing that you want to be able to do. And there are legitimate cases where you want to do that. Okay. So, So what this says over here, so now returning back over here, this says if BPY in locals. So BPY is the key of a dictionary, right? Locals is a dictionary. So if I say if this is in the dictionary, that's really saying if this key is in the dictionary, right? So if I go over here and I say locals again, you know, I don't see BPY in there. But if I don't see OS or sys in there either. And if I say import OS and then say locals, now we see there's something in here called OS, which is a module called OS from this whole thing. So I'm seeing lots of information about this module, right? So over here, this is just saying if BPY in locals. So BPY, I happen to know, is the name of the Blender Python package. That's what BPY is. And this is saying if it's, so basically what this is saying is if you've already imported it, then you can print out reloading Neuropil tools, and this says import imp. And imp is a, imp happens to be, I'm not sure where imp is. I think imp happens to be part of BPY maybe, I don't know. And then this says imp.reload io import multiple OBJs. That's part of Neuropil tools. Imp reload this, imp reload that, imp reload that. So this is doing, this is saying if this package has already been activated once before, Blender Python will be already imported. That's our way of telling that that's happened already. So when we re-register the add-on, do this instead. So this is a kind of a fancy thing. But you can see that by doing some introspection, we can control how things happen. Else, it says, so if this is the very first time we're ever doing this, this says importing, why does this say, quote, BPY, Neuropil tools. Huh, this is kind of funny with the BPY in the middle here. So I'm not sure what this does here. So we have two strings with double quotes. And in the middle, we have the name of the Python package. That's kind of funny. I'm not sure what that Python syntax does. Maybe it just, we want to say importing Neuropil tools, but anyway. And then it says from dot, which is the current directory, which is where Neuropil tools is living, import this and this and this and this. So this is how you would import into your init.py these things so that later on in this init.py file, we could refer to parts of this. Okay. So in our add-on over here, if we were going to break this up into a couple different files and we wanted to refer to part of that in our init.py file, this is saying we could say from dot import blah, blah, blah. And if we wanted to be extra careful about it, so that we could do re-registering, we could kind of emulate what this is doing over here, where instead of saying import, we can say imp.reload. Whatever imp is. I'm not sure what imp is. I think imp might be something that Python, that Blender knows about. Because if I go over here and I say Python 3.5, or if I say import imp, imp is actually an official part of Python. I don't know what it is, right? I could say help imp. And this module provides the components needed to build your own import function. Aha, okay, cool. So that's what we did over here. And we're just saying reload. And reload So if I were over here and I said, let's say I say help.reload, let's see what reload does. It says deprecated. It says reload the module and return it. The module must have been successfully imported before. Okay. But it says deprecated. We'd have to go online and look up more documentation about this, or maybe help imp tells us, say reload here. Yeah, I don't know. Somewhere in here might be the right way to do it. I don't know. Usually when they say deprecate something, they tell you what to do instead. And I don't know. So let's see. And I know we're past 11 o'clock. Just trying to get to a stopping point here. And then, so after doing this, then finally we say import BPY. So a BPY wouldn't exist if we hadn't already done this once. Right? Because here we're saying, here's where we say finally import it, right? And then here's our register function. And here's our unregister function. And these are commented out. This is how we used to do it once upon a time. And here's our if main that's commented out. So we don't allow that either. So like I said, all we have in here is the BL info, some stuff that lets us import things in case we need it. And then we have the register and the unregister. And the register is actually making use of some of these other items like processor tool dot processor tool ob object property, right? So this has processor tool dot, right? So that's something that isn't in our init file, it's in our processor tool Python file. And you can see here we're importing processor tool. So this lets us kind of have our init.py file be, you know, be simple and self-contained, but in order to do that, we have to import some other things and split up our add-on into multiple files because it's going to get to be pretty big. Our package is going to get to be pretty big, and it's not considered good practice to have all your code in one file, even though you could, right? There's nothing there, but and I was about to say there's nothing wrong with that, but actually there is, right? Because it's too hard, it's too hard to manage even as a single person working on it. And then if you're in a team, right, there's even more reason to have multiple files for your add-on. Okay. So if we were to, let me quit from that. Didn't mean to change anything here. Over here, so if we were to break this up into multiple files, usually you can think of different ways of breaking it up. If your add-on consists of kind of multiple concepts or purposes or sub pieces that are kind of you know logically separable from each other, you might have a different file for each of those bits. And if you're designing something organically, meaning kind of as you think of it on the fly, you can maybe think about what's the purpose of your add-on up front and maybe think up front of what those pieces might be. But since you're developing organically, there might only be a few things you can think of at the beginning. And then later you might think of some other things that need to be added, and when you think of those other things that might necessitate kind of reorganizing things that you've already done, that's okay. This is what Git is great at. You should feel like you can reorganize things anytime you want, any way you want. And as long as you use Git to commit those changes in a way where each commit creates a new version of the add-on that works and is kind of self-contained and works at that point, those are things that you can publish to the Git repo as a new commit that you push. If you've got multiple, if you've got a bigger thing in mind that's going to take longer and more steps, you can do individual Git commits of each of those little changes in your own local copy, and then and commit those. It's good practice to commit early, commit often, and commit all those micro changes if you want to. Don't worry about that. Your log message will say, you know, this is what I did, and this and the result is, you know, something that's broken, and you can actually put that in the commit saying, you know, these are commits towards some bigger goal, and this is step one of that goal, and this is step two of that goal, or something. You could document your commits that way. And when you're all done and get all those commits in there, and now you've got something that really does work, at that point, you could say git push. And all the micro commits that were part of your local repo would all get pushed together out to the final repo. And so this is that's another way to work. But what if the changes you're making to your add-on are really towards some new feature that is experimental, and you're going to want to experiment with it for a while and get other people to try to use and get other people to use it in between and see if it's right. But it's not something you want to be part of the master copy of the add-on yet. It's something that you're doing experimentally. What you can do is make a branch. Git lets you make branches and can name the branch. So right now we have a branch called master or main. That's all we have right now, but we could make, what if we wanted to make a branch where Lupe and I were gonna experiment on some new feature together. We can name the branch, you know, Lupe's experiment one or something, and name the branch that, and then push that branch to GitHub even, and it would be there as a separate branch. And when you do a git push and a git pull, you could name the name of the branch when you do it. And that way, and anyone else could clone it and then get that branch of the clone, and they could play with it too. And then later, we can merge the branch with master using git merge. And now all those changes, which are now been fully developed and we're happy with, can get merged back into the master branch. It's kind of nice. So there's a workflow that you can use. Okay, so over here, maybe the last thought we would have before leaving today, if people still have 5 more minutes of patience. We have these classes for my scene, add ICOS, and the panel. Those are the things that are extra here beyond the BL info and beyond the register and unregister. We might want to move those three items out to another file. And if we did, what would we name that file? I'm not sure. This is such a simple, silly add-on. I'm not sure what we would name it, but I want to demonstrate doing it. So Lupe, what do you think we should name the extra file? Or anybody? What could we name it? I'm gonna do it by making a copy of the init.py and copy it into
Well, I think, I mean, it's a simple example, right? But yeah, but part of it is making the panel, and then part of it is adding the actual ICOS spheres.
Right.
So maybe it would even be, you know, something like make panel and add ICOS spheres or something.
me make two files.
I don't want to overcomplicate things.
I'll just say panel. Maybe I'll just call it panel.py. And in our init.py up here, let's see, by analogy with what we have over here, I'll just copy this chunk. And I'll put it right here. And I think it's okay to say panel. And I think it's okay. Well, maybe not. The very last one shouldn't have a comma or a continuation character. So I'll just get rid of that. And then these bits go away. This is register class panel dot. I think that would work. And then my settings is type equal panel dot. And then this is unregister dot, I think. This main part down here, I think, was an experiment. So one last general Python thing. If you have a Python script, the Python script can double as a Python package and as an executable, as a standalone executable, the same Python code. If it has a thing in here that says if name equal main. So when I if I were to run this from the command line, its name variable, this underscore name variable, would be equal to main. So this is a way for Python to detect whether or not your script is being run from the command line or being imported as a package. If I run it from the command line, this will be true, and then this is what would happen, right? It would do this stuff. And here we were just experimenting with, I don't know what we were doing, right? We just threw some code in here. But if your package is being imported, like when Blender activates this add-on, it just imports it, then you come down here, this would be false. And so none of this would happen. So it's safe to keep it here because we're never going to run this from the command line, I think. And it's safe to keep it here for now. We can just keep that. Okay. So maybe this would work. And let's see if I go back over here and look at panel.py. So now we can go back over here and I can look at, say, processor-tool.py. And this just says, import what it needs. It also says import BPY because it's going to use from our thing is going to use some BPY things. So let's see. So here we are in panel.py. And we know we need to import, we don't want to have a BL info, so we don't need that. And the first line of this is just a comment. Yeah, okay, that looks right. And then here's our three classes, blah, blah, blah. And we don't have to have any of this stuff like this. I think that's all we have. Ah, but it does need its own, I think it does need its own register and unregister. So this is how, well, there's a fancier way to do the register and unregister that we might want to consider. Okay, so this would go right up here. And our init.py in, let's see, in Neuropil tools, in our init.py, register all the components of the add-on. Okay, so let's copy that. Over here, we said let's register them one at a time by name. But if we do it this way, then if we add a new file with new parts in it, we have to remember to go back here and register it, right? But if I do this, this Python, Blender Python utility called register module is smart enough to look in this directory for all the modules that we've imported. We've imported panel. We do have to remember to import up here, but for all the ones that we've registered using this import function, this is going to look at whatever that thing is, I think automatically. Name here is going to be equal to add ICOS add-on, not main, right? This name variable is not going to be called main because we're not, add ICOS add-on has been imported as a package. Its name will be add ICOS add-on. So what this is going to say is do a register module of add ICOS add-on. So everything that's a submodule of add ICOS add-on, I think, will be found by this, and it'll find panel because we have add ICOS add-on dot panel as the name of this thing, right? Because we said from dot, which is add ICOS add-on, import panel. So that makes this panel thing be called, be recognized as something called add ICOS add-on dot panel. And this says register module of add ICOS add-on. So anything that's a sub package of add ICOS add-on will be registered. What that means is this is gonna do something where it's gonna say it's gonna call a function called add ICOS add-on dot panel dot register. Okay. And so where's our unregister here? Unregister says unregister module, right? So it's the same thing, but in reverse. This needs to say unregister. And we could print out something. So it's nice to print things. So now when we check and uncheck the checkbox, for this add-on, we should see on the terminal window a printout that says registered and unregistered to kind of give us an indicator that things are A-okay. Okay, and this says to register it, and this says to unregister it. So now over here in our panel, we have a function called register and unregister, but this is now going to be called addicos addon.panel.register, right? And unregister. And here there's no print statement to put because, you know, we don't necessarily need to have the fine grain. Okay. And then here's our classes. And let's see if I go back. Oh. Is unregistered class. Okay, that's what says there. And if I look at the processor tool, it says for itself, okay. Yeah, and I think what happens automatically is it registers not only the module, but also the classes of the module automatically. Because otherwise this wouldn't make any sense here. We know that NeuroBuild tools works, so this says register and unregister are required for Blender add-ons. We use module class registration, unregistration. That's the kind of the comment on here, which is kind of a nice comment to include. Oops, didn't give us. Okay, so now I'm not sure if this will work or not. Maybe we're not gonna test it today. We'll test it next time because that might take us longer and we're coming up to 11:30. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a git add panel.py and then git commit minus a say re Maybe that's enough. And maybe I'll say, push. Okay, and there we are. And maybe it works, maybe not. Oh, but last thing we need to do in our make file, we now have a new source. And it's addicos add-on panel.py. Very important. I forgot to do that, so I'm going to do a git okay. So if I did a make install, it would install this new thing and maybe it would work, maybe not, but let's do that next time. Okay, so I'm going to say stop sharing.